Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos. Man, I'm telling you, that was pretty high up there. We're going to be covering a couple topics today in today's program. But, you know, it's amazing. Silence. It is totally amazing. I have never seen such silence in a studio. We're walking around in their heads in here. It's like, oh my goodness, we need to be out. Be out and talk. The topics that we're going to be talking about today is with the Bible Society, right?
Yes, yes.
Bible Society. Talk to us.
Yeah, well, right now, American Bible Society put a survey, if you will, about some of the problems that families are facing today. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that families have problems, on what planet you're on.
Right.
But there's nothing that's normal. You know, people have this stereotype that think that there's the Joneses, and we actually did a segment about that. But that everyone has a perfect family, only certain people have a perfect family. And you know what? We're all flawed individuals. Mm-hmm. And when you bring flawed individuals together, you're going to have one flawed situation. You know, that's why we need the grace of God. But some of the things that they share in their data.
We'll also be talking about, just cover that real quick before you go into that, also a documentary that's out.
Yes. It's called Irreplaceable, Focus on the Family, Put It Together. And it's going to be released one night, May the 6th. I want to encourage people to go out and see it. And we'll have some information related there for you. But it's about a documentary that's talking about the power and the importance of the family unit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what you're seeing a lot right now is the family's really under attack. Right. From all different places, fathers, the parents, children.
Anything to do with what God says family is.
Yeah, it's just destroyed.
And everybody kind of doing what's in their own mind, what they want to.
Yeah, that's it. And sad to say, mimicking and following some of the sad portrayals of family on TV. You know, right. It used to be a day where there were shows like Daddy Knows Best. You know, there used to be shows like, you know, Leave It a Beaver. You know, there were family nice programs that you can watch and you can see family interaction and say, wow, that was a great way to resolve a problem, you know. And now it's just nothing but problem and just craziness. And so now the kids, you know, copy that, and it's like that's a reflection of our own life.
They would see normal as boring.
Right, right. You know, my answer to that is, you know, if you're bored, then it should mean you're boring.
Yeah, boring people are bored.
You know, so. But some statistics are, and this is what they found in their survey, that one divorce occurs every 36 seconds in America, and this is from the U.S. Census Department. 22% of children live in homes below the poverty level in America. And they say that about 2.4 marriages in 2011, there was one divorce. And these statistics...
2.4
marriages? 2.4
marriages
in 2011, there was one divorce, U.S. Census Department.
I don't make sense.
Yeah, I don't. I'm exactly reading it from their site. For every.
Yeah.
I missed that. For every 2.4 marriages.
Right, right.
There's a divorce. And then they share about, 57% of American adults think that the Bible contains everything you need to know to live a meaningful life. So you almost see like almost a direct correlation. 50% of people believe that the Bible shares everything that has the meaning to life, and then you have another 50% that's, you know, they're having problems and, you know, or did actually divorcing in marriage. But, you know, you see these problems, and one of the main problems that you find with families is that, you know, we're not living according to the Word of God, you know, and these are Christians are not living to what the Bible says family is supposed to be. I mean, God didn't make a mistake. If we have an issue and a problem, it's because we're not applying the truth that God has established.
Right.
But it's amazing that in a previous program, we talked about not just hearing the Word of God, but you need to practice it. You need to apply it. You need to implement it in your life. And it's the truth that you know that is activated in your life. It becomes real in your life.
It manifests.
Yeah. So people just say, you know, you don't have revelation until you have a show up in your life, you know,
right.
It's not revelation, it's just information. And so this is so important, but we need to get back to basics and bringing our family back into a place where we're saying, hey, we're just going to honor God. You know, we're going to abide as a family. We're going to read what God's word says as a family.
Right.
And we're going to now implement and do what God's word says. And this is just one, you know, this is just their survey.
So 50% believe that the Bible has all the answers they'll need, and 50% don't believe that.
Correct. Correct.
And the ramifications are 50% of marriages ending in divorce.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is. It's a living, active word of God. It is the manual for life. And reading it in the context of that, imagine if the word came back again in people's hearts in a big way, like, you know, Hobby Lobby, Steve Green is really focusing on, as we talked about in an earlier program, and take that prominence in our lives again, as it does in my life.
Yeah.
And, but it's like, do you ever open your Bible?
Yeah.
Have you been convinced that you have to have this certain version of the Bible that you don't understand that locks you out of the way that you actually can understand words? Or have you gotten a version that you can actually understand? I mean, you don't let anybody speak over you. You have to have this or that. If you can't even understand it, that you think about, you're locked out.
That's right.
And, but it's not just any particular version out there, but understand this, that you need to actually read the Word of God. And it's the only book, it's the only book that comes with the author.
That's right.
It's the only one that comes with the author that will tell you and reveal to you the meaning of what he's saying in there. And it goes deep in the heart. It divides the thought and intent, the attitudes of the heart. And there's nothing more precious than the Word of God.
Yeah. What's interesting that you're mentioning that, because alongside of this study, the American Bible Society partnered with the Barna Group to release the State of the Bible for 2014. And they share some interesting statistics in regards to that. But they say that people who are less likely to view the Bible as sacred in 2011 was 86%. And in 2014, now it's 79%. They're less likely to consider the Bible as sacred. And so you're looking at some statistics that say, well, you know, could some of the issues that we're facing, just a simple question, some of the issues that we're facing today in our society, is it a result of, you know, what kind of value we've placed on the Word of God? They said Bible lovers and those that are reserved, if you will, but they say 19% are engaged and the other are they're critics. They're, you know, not engaged at all, kind of equal there. They say that Bible ownership remains strong, but readership remains weak. 88% of households own a Bible. 88%.
In America?
Yeah, on average, 4.7 Bibles are in per household.
Wow.
And I think that I'm not sure about this, but I think I'm interested to find out, maybe we can get that number, what's the average household size. But rest assured, it's well below 4.7, which means there is a Bible for every person in that home.
Right.
Yet, 37% of Americans read the Bible at least once a week or more. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, catch a clue, you know. So we need the Bible to become more important in our lives. If we don't honor what God is saying, hello, we're gonna reap the ramifications of not putting God first.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason why, also as ministers, that whoever's ministering the Word of God, you need to preach from the Bible. You need to preach scripture. You don't need to preach the latest topics or whatever, or not go from the Word of God, because your people's not—they're not in the Word. They're not reading the Word. So the Word that they may live their life by is what you preach to them. And so if you're—and this is for years, you know, people couldn't read, so somebody had to tell them what the Word of God was, and that's fine if you can hear it that way. And, you know, the word that some people may only ever know is the word that you actually tell them.
Yeah.
But you can tell them. You can tell them. You can preach the Word of God. And that's why it's important, if they're not reading the Bible despite them having Bibles, 81% not even picking up the Bibles that they have, then if you preach the Word of God to them, that's what they're going to have,
which is
effective. You know, that's effective. And once they get enough Word, then they get hungry, you know, for more of God. But yes, very specifically that it's like a famine.
Yeah.
And it's a famine for the word of God. It's one of the prophecies I believe it's in Ezekiel talking about the famine, but it's a famine of the revelation of the word of God.
Yeah.
And it's like there will be a hunger that starts happening, and it may happen in the natural first, but it'll produce a hunger for God. And if you're hungry for God, you're hungry for his word, because he is the word of God. He's the living, acting, breathing. The word became flesh.
Yeah.
You know, when God spoke, Jesus happened. You know, he is the word of God. And everything was created by the word of God.
It's interesting that what one generation sows, the other generation reaps. They say that adults now, 50% of all adults believe that the Bible has too little influence in society. And now the millennials, which is 18 to 29, only 30% believe that. It's like, you know, this is watering down. The younger generation isn't even, you know, parent according to these stats are saying, hey, the Bible's not relevant. Yeah. And it's like, come on now, you know, and in a time where you, never on the face of the earth has there been more information and revelation and different ways to receive the gospel on so many different platforms. The church should be the strongest that it's ever been, because it's the word of God. But if you don't have any value for the word, if there's no value, you can have 4.7 Bibles in your home and never pick them up. They're not paperweights, but they're the living revelation of God.
And that's why so many people think when you do actually say what's in the Bible, they freak out and think, I can't believe you're saying that, as if it was your own opinion. And it's like, it's almost like attacking the newsboy who's selling the papers on the street corner for what he's actually saying. Read the headlines. And it's because so many people haven't been in the word that they don't even realize how far we've left the word as a nation, as the church. And so you have to be ready for, you know, the stigmas that we talked about in an earlier program, you know, the stigmas of the gospel, because of people that have, even professing people who profess to be Christians, they're not in the word as much. And so they're going to be shocked to find out what they're doing, you know, is not of God. But they can easily turn back. And so, yes. And you look to since the 60s that the things that have been injected into society and progression to where we are today, they've worked hard to minimalize the word of God, the Bible, prayer, church, and all that. And those folks who were doing that in the 60s are now leading our nation. Those are the ones that are predominantly in these different places of leadership. And so it's almost like their goal has been reached and how they want to do it. But we have to understand that if we stand up with God, it doesn't matter. God will just laugh at this whole thing, and it'll turn back to him. But it won't turn back to him and his ways if we don't turn our heart back to him and his word. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You wish there was one easy way to improve your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Patricia Ashley with one suggestion.
When you give your husband true compliments, and when you say true positive things to him about him, it is like putting water on a plant. I know what I'm talking about. Do you all hear me? Even if they reject it, even if they act like it didn't move them, believe me, if you walk out the room and peek back at them,
well, we all like to receive compliments, don't we? Especially from our spouse. So give your husband or wife some words of affirmation today. You'll be glad you did. For more ways to strengthen your relationship, stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
I do want to give a big shout out and hello out there, I'm sure you do too, for all of our partners who partner with us on a monthly basis. I don't know if you know this or not, but and people like you say, you know what? This is good. This is good seed. Not only are they broadcasting the truth on television and radio around the nation and around the world, but they're actually telling the truth. I mean, they're willing to take the blows in love, but telling the truth. And I could stand for that. As a matter of fact, this is what God said. This God's word says this, that if you give a drink of water, If you give a drink of water to someone who speaks truth in the name of God, you get that person's reward. Mm. Imagine if you become a partner. You say, this is my pledge for 2014. Every single month, I am going to pledge a financial contribution to the light. I want to keep the conversation light for 2014. And, you know, over one half of our reality being out there is because of you, because of partners. The other half is because of our sponsors, our businesses who stand with us. And it's so cool because in the whole journey since God called me out of the fires of Brownsville Revival, he called me into a realm of an interesting apostolic move because we've been seeing government, we've been seeing military, we've been seeing the businesses say, you know, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is God. And I can't go into many details, but I can say this. If you go to VFNTV.com right now and look and click on See Our Partners, you'll see those businesses that are standing with us, and you'll also see a chance where you can become a sponsor who stands with us too. Stands with us by putting your shingle out there saying, I stand. I don't only have a fish on my sign. I have a fish on my heart, and I stand for God and country in that order, and I stand for Israel, and I stand publicly, unashamed. You can do that by becoming a partner with us. I want to say thank you to our partners that are standing with us. Thank you to our sponsors who are standing with us. Visit these businesses. I mean, they're so cool. I just love what they're doing. Show the difference of those who stand up for God. Say, you know what? That's where I'm going to buy my cookies. That's where I'm going to get my coffee. That's where I'm going to get my car fixed. That's where I'm going to bowl. That's where I'm going to seek entertainment for my family. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to these places. And if you want to be a part of those who are saying, I want to go there, hey, become a sponsor. We want people to know that you stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. We don't want to stop talking. All of 2014, as long as they let us talk, as long as God says he lets us do it, we want to tell people about you. We are proud of you. We are thankful for you, and we are grateful for you. And we just speak a blessing over the businesses in 2014 of those who stood up and said, you know what? I want everybody to know at Blue Angel Hot Tubs and Spas and Pools that even though I ship around the world, I want everybody to know I stand up for God and the principles and on, every single one of them. And we just thank you so much. Visit them. Make 2014 commitment, not only to stand as a partner individually, but if you have a business, sponsor us. Let us promote you as you promote God. Let us make your business famous as you make Jesus' name famous. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and, Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are going right into the wisdom moment. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 through 19. It reads, Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, which is the wickedness. You can think of the word sin. Do not set your foot on the path of sin of wickedness, or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. Go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of righteousness is like the morning sun, shining even brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Man, it's a powerful proverb. And in the proverb, when you think about it, the first thing that he's talking about here is that there are two pathways. There's two ways to go in our life, a way that we actually make a choice in which way we're going to go. And everything in your life is a choice. No matter what people tell, they're choosing to do that. And you need to know that, because somebody may have told you that you're not actually choosing, making these choices in your life. They've convinced you. There's like so many paradigms right now where people are telling people that you're not, it's not your fault. You know, somebody else chose your destiny for you. It's just endless. I just can't go into all the depths of that. But the truth is, there's two paths, the way to go in our life. And he talks about them. One is the path of darkness. One is the path of life. One is the path of wickedness, and one is the path of righteousness. And the word wickedness is so removed from our personal lexicons that what he's saying is the path of sin, you know, choosing the path of sin. And so when we choose the path of sin, we're not choosing the path of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so there's two different paths. And those who walk on the path of sin or the path of wickedness, they are driven to do evil. It's amazing. It's like their driving force is just to do evil. They don't even get sleep. They lose sleep over the fact until they've actually done some sin. They got to sin before they can rest at night. You know what I'm saying? They got to be evil, hateful, do something, whatever. But just they're just driven by that. They spend endless hours giving up sleep and rest till they make someone else stumble. Mm. He talks about that. And they find release once they see someone else suffering in their life, somebody else, you know, not making it. And their meal is consistent of the bread of sin, the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. And just imagine to me is how many people, the media content that people take in, they're just eating all this wickedness and choices of media. And it's just like, and they go through dry heaves. They can't even get, make it through the day without seeing something wicked, you know, or violence. It's like, how can you watch this man punch this other man's face in and be okay with that? How in the world is a Christian, when God says, I hate violence, how can you drink that violence and even wear a shirt bragging that you watched this man's face beat in and you call it a sport, or you call it street fighting, or whatever you call it from? It's that sin nature when somebody says, draw blood, and they drink violence. It's a wine of violence. And it's amazing. He's talking about it right here, and he says, those who take the path of righteousness, it's different in their life. They grow more progressively brighter and brighter. When they first start out, it's like the morning sun. You think about it, peeking over the horizon. It's just like a glimpse of light. But as they maintain their walk on the path of righteousness and discipleship with Jesus Christ, their light becomes brighter and brighter till all of a sudden they're like the noonday sun. And so it's like, wow, so many people compare themselves because they're progressively getting brighter and brighter in their life. They go, man, look how bright that guy's life is. Look how bright her life is. And it's like, no, the path of righteousness will cause your life to become more and more bright, which means basically less of us and more of Jesus will be taking place in our life. And those who take the path of sin and wickedness, their way is deep darkness. It's a deep, dark thing to choose sin, It's a deep, dark thing. And think about dark rooms when you can't even see your hand in front of your face. That's what it's like when you change and you think about it. It's kind of just that kind of darkness, because this deep darkness, they fall, they trip, they crash, they burn, relationships crash, work crashes, personal life in general is just tripping and falling. But if you can't see your hand in front of your face in a dark room, you're not going to be able to see why you're doing what you're doing. And that's why it's so important. If you can't see what you're doing, you need to have somebody in your life that helps you, you know, see what's actually going on. But they don't have a clue, he says. They don't have a clue while they're stumbling. And because they don't understand this was their choice to do this, they'll spend the rest of their life trying to blame other folks for why their tragedies are happening in their relationship, why their tragedies are happening in their workplace, why their tragedies are happening. But he said they don't really know because they're just in a dark place because they chose to walk down a dark path. In a dark society, think about it, it gets more tragic experiences, and it becomes more blind the longer it stays on the dark path. But they don't understand that they're the reason why it's getting that way. They don't understand this is the reason why you're having such tragedy in your life. And he says in John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, the light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. You're not going to be able to comprehend the goodness of God and the light and the land of what's happening in your way out and how to get on the path of righteousness. Mm-hmm. You can't have one foot on the path of righteousness and one foot on the path of wickedness. Right. Your choice was wickedness.
That's right.
And sad to say, a lot of people have made that choice.
Don't be fooled.
Yeah, and 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So you can't, when you choose to go a dark way, when you choose to go the way that God plainly says, don't go in that way, you're choosing to be blinded. Mm-hmm. And it's your mind blinded, not your eyes being blinded, which is so important. And so he says very specifically in five different ways, he says about this dark, wicked path, he says, don't set your foot on it. Don't walk in the way of those who do, which means don't make friends and walk along with those that are walking in wicked ways. Avoid it. Do not travel on it and turn from it. I would say there's something very specific about there. And there are two paths and two choices, individual choices that we have to determine that we're going to walk on. One is if we choose to walk on the path of righteousness, our lives will become ever brighter. We'll have less pitfalls and traps, and God will protect us. And if we choose the path of wickedness and sin, then it will become increasingly dark. Our ability to discern what is right and wrong will just go, it'd be impossible eventually. And we'll stumble in all of our ways that we're living our life. Today's Wisdom Moments, Proverbs 4:14-19. Do not set your foot on the path of wickedness, or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. Go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like a morning sun shining ever brighter till the light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. John, and that's just powerful when you think about that.
It is, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's a big lie that people tend to believe that says that, you know, I can have one foot in darkness and one foot in light and think that everything's okay. You're not a compartmentalized person. You know, you are who you are. Mm-hmm. So you can't spend half the time walking in darkness and half the time walking in what you perceive to be as the light. You're in darkness. You're in darkness. And what happens is that when you're in darkness, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, you're not fully aware of it. You know that you're doing something, but you don't know the ramifications. You don't know what's pulling the string. There's a lot of things that are unknown to you. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. You need to come into the light fully. God's word sheds a light on us. It's a light to our path. And when we abide and spend time with the Lord, right, he reveals things to us. And we need to help those that don't know God yet by the word. Listen, they're blinded. But when we share the light that's in us, they can begin to see. And in that moment of light and revelation, God begins to work with them. And so, right, I believe that everybody wants to come into the light. We just have to share our light.
And if you haven't yet gone heard the segment, The Children of the Light, you need to hear it. God spoke to me very specifically. You got to choose which one you're going to be a part of. Children of the night, of darkness, or children of the light. The path of righteousness, the path of life, or the path of darkness.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian television network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. And joining me today to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. My goodness, we have a program excited to be shared with you today. We're going to be talking about discipleship. You know, this is a commandment that the Lord tells us. It says, go make disciples. And we're just going to unpack that and have a conversation with you about what Jesus has clearly spoken to us, some of the most important last words he ever shared on earth. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to continue our conversation from a previous program. And remember that we are four programs back to back about a family. And we're going to be we talked about some of the problems that families are facing today. The American Bible Society put some stats together, and they kind of shared some things, and they also shared in relation to Pat how Americans view the Bible, and what they saw that there was 50% of marriages are ending in divorce, given you know a few percentages there, but yet 50% of Americans believe that the Bible is not meaningful for their life.
Right.
So it's like,
not relevant.
Well, let's look at the facts. These are the numbers. But what we're going to be sharing with you is a new documentary that was just put out by Focus on the Family. What I mean put out, it was just produced. It's going to be available May the 6th. They're going to have a night, you know, special night to release it. And it's called Irreplaceable. It's a documentary basically about the importance of the family, and they just start interviewing folks and getting people to really share and discuss more about family. So you want to make sure that you catch us in its entirety because it's going to be really, you know, encouraging because we got to get back to this, you know. The foundation of our nation is needs to be God, but when you look at it, it's the family unit. If the family's destroyed and splintered and broken up, then what does that say about our communities? What does that say about our neighborhoods and our cities and the regions and the states in which we live in? And what we're realizing is that our nation is fragmented and the family structure is becoming more and more weak. But there is a way to make it strong. I mean, it always existed. The problem is, Pat, is when we leave the original intent of what God has designed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. If you don't use the, I guess we'll just stay here for a little bit. I mean, if you don't read the operation manual, what happens when you buy something out the store? It comes with a little booklet, and it tells you, this is how you use the TV, this is how you don't use the TV. The first thing they tell you is warning. Before you pull the thing out, you need to read this. Mm-hmm. Because what you're about to do, you don't know. This is uncharted territory. You just purchased this item, so you don't know. By you assuming you're going to put your hands on it, you're going to pull it out, hey, you can damage something there. So they tell you right from the beginning on many of these little booklet manuals, these are some very important things that you need to know. You need to be able to implement and watch out for do's and don'ts. And life is a lot like that. We are so quick to put our hands on life without reading the instruction manual. Mm-hmm. And God was so good that he gave us the Word of God.
Right.
He gave us the Word of God. And with that, you know, the Bible tells us for every aspect of our life, you know, how we are to live, what we are to do. There's not a single thing that you can face, Pat, in your life. Mm-hmm. Nothing that God has not clearly spoken about. That's right. In his Word. And I think about that, and you look at the thousands of years the Bible has been in existence, mm-hmm. and you know, how many, listen, we definitely buy Bibles in America. Right now there's about 4.7 Bibles for every household, so we do buy Bibles. Mm-hmm. We don't read them according to the stats, but we do have them.
Right.
And if we just implement the truths that are there, imagine the possibilities. Mm-hmm. Imagine what could happen. Right. As a result. And in particular, the family unit. And, you know, we're talking about how today programs are available on viewing that are so anti-family. They're so dishonoring of the father. They're so dishonoring of the mother. And it's like, man, really? You know, back in the 50s, they were watching Daddy Knows Best, you know. Yeah. And I didn't know this, but, you know, the actor in Daddy Knows Best, he actually started, I believe, St. Jude's Hospital, where they do all these miracle, what do they call it? Operations for children. I think it's called Miracle Hope or something like that. But they do this really, really big, big thing. And actually, he was the one that started that, and I didn't know the connection.
Danny Thomas?
I think so. I think so.
I just saw something about him recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting. But, we've come so far. We've mm-hmm. come so far. And what we need to do is put a focus back on the family, mm-hmm. but not just any focus. It's what is God's perspective? What does the Word of God say, you know, about family, the structure, and how we're supposed to live our lives? We all have a role to play in our life. At a certain point, you know, children have a role to play, parents have a role to play, fathers have a role to play, wives have. We all have a role to play, mm-hmm. and God clearly tells us what is our role. The question is, are we living up to God's standards? And the thing is that, look, just look at the fruit. I mean, you know, if you're questioning, well, you know, that's out there. Well, just look at the facts. Look at the fruit. Is it working for you right now? Is it working for you not implementing God's word in your life? Because it's not a suggestion. It's something that we need to do. Right. You know, when we get back from this break, we're going to actually share with you a trailer for this movie, Irreplaceable, and we're going to continue to kind of share with you and unpack this a little bit more. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing, it transferred.
I know, isn't amazing? It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution.
Yeah,
to the
mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar. Remember?
It was Hagar. No, didn't she come from the anyway?
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say the
same. Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not sir. Say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
Okay. We're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote.
Let's
very
get
serious,
into serious
quote.
Mode.
Yeah, I
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So,
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. And we're talking about the state of the family and the new movie that is coming out, produced by and made by Focus on the Family Ministry. And basically, it's a special event. It's coming out in movie theaters. It's called a theatrical one-night event coming on May the 6th. And so we're going to make sure that this is related for you on the torch. But you'll have the trailer as well as a way for you to find and look at the, you know, look at the theater maybe in your city where you can go and support this movie and take a look at it. But, you know, we're talking about the state of the family and how important it is to allow the Bible to be implemented, practiced, and be the compass of your life and also for your family. You know, your family is made up of individuals, and it's amazing that when you come together, you know, all of us are flawed. We all have the things that God is working on us. But, you know, when we come together, we need to come together as a family, as one cohesive unit. We're in one agreement. We're in one accord. Mm-hmm. And if one or two are just trying to apply the Word of God or one person, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because you need to have peace in your home, and you can't have peace outside of God. It just, right. just doesn't happen.
That's right.
Unless you medicate yourself, and that's not real peace. You're just mm-hmm. non-existent.
Right.
But there is a way. Yeah, you've checked out. And many have. I mean, you just turn on the TV, and you've totally checked out, and it's just like life just happens. It's like, no, it doesn't. I mean, yeah, events hit you like a bug on a windshield. But you can actually go through life with meaning, with purpose, and intentionality. And you can arrive to a destination. Your family can arrive to a destination because you're present. You're fully, fully present. And if you had children before, I mean, if that alone doesn't cause you to cry out to God, you know, mm-hmm. you need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God. You know, as parents, our role is to help develop our children, to mature them, not so that they can just get an education. Oftentimes, I see parents that their biggest concern is, and their biggest joy, is what grades the child had on a report card and what college they're going to.
Right.
And it's like, if this is all we're doing for our children is preparing them to get a job?
Right.
Is this all that we're not teaching them the ways of the Lord? We're not teaching character development? Mm-hmm. You know, God wants us to mold and help shape that child to be productive in his kingdom, but mainly to have a relationship with the Lord. And right. we do that from a small age, from the moment they're born, you know, and all the way until, you know, the rest of their lives, so they transition out of our own home. But as long as we have relationship with them, we're speaking life to them, not just, you know, information and helping them prepare for a good job. But we want to share this trailer with you because we, in a previous program, we were talking about some of the statistics that families are facing today and how the family is under attack. And the only way out of that is the Word of God and doing what God has said. And they share a really interesting perspective. We're going to have this trailer. We want you just to listen and enjoy. Listen up.
A couple more questions. How important is your family to you?
Very important.
Can you tell me why?
If you didn't have a family, you would die because you need love to live.
As I contemplate the world around me, I'm perplexed. I've always believed in traditional family. Man and woman marry, they have and raise children. They remain committed for a lifetime. But every day in the media, the life choices of my neighbors, even in public policy, I seem to be told that I've got it wrong.
The biggest change that's taken place in education over the last generation actually has nothing to do with schools, but everything to do with what's happened to the family in the last generation. Dad is just not there on a regular basis. Out of wedlock childbirths have gone through the roof. We're at about 40% right now of all births are out of wedlock.
24 million children in America have no biological fathers in their home.
Was divorcing after many years of marriage.
Is it time, Danielle, to acknowledge the end of traditional marriage and embrace some new ideas about romance and family?
It's time for me to really get into my life, think about me as an individual, not as a marital partnership. Why should people be in relationships that they're stuck in?
The thing I do till death do us part. Couples in Mexico City who want to get married, but not forever, may be able to soon get a temporary marriage license.
You're buying a car or a lease with an option to buy.
So I have to ask the question, does culture have it right? Or is there something better?
But when you finally get past that and you say, no matter what, I'm committed to you, I want to give more, I want to serve more, then that sets a tone that betters the world.
Is there a way to do family that really works? What can we learn from history, ancient tradition, modern psychology, from religion, from other cultures?
Marriage is not a contract. It is a vow. A vow is a very different thing. It's where you dedicate your life to another person. And there aren't any terms. You know, it's not a promise to do some specific thing, but a gift of the person.
Might that solution provide a pathway to healing broken hearts, reducing poverty, combating violence and injustice? What if that solution also points to the ultimate question of our need to belong, to be loved, to be part of something enormous and greater than ourselves? Join me on a journey of discovery as we literally search the world for answers.
Amazing. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
I'm looking forward to watching this movie, but they were sharing some really interesting just information as you're looking at this trailer. But when you think about a family, it's one of the very first places we should come encounter with love.
Yeah.
You think about that. Love. You know, God is love. But in a family, that's probably the first things we should be able to encounter in that family unit is the power and the acceptance of love. And oftentimes, there is no love.
Right.
And I'm amazed at how many things that people define as love, but that really, truly isn't love. And if you don't know love himself, mm-hmm. how can you give something that you don't have?
Right.
You know, and oftentimes, we struggle with that. People say, I am loving you. You can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you know what love is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the love that you know and you're experiencing is very shallow or limited, then they're loving. That's it. But it's like, yeah. you know, 2-inch love as opposed to, you know, gallons of Niagara waterfalls of love. You know, it's right. You know, what is that? Mm-hmm. And so the more we get to the, you know, the heart of God, the more that we abide in fellowship with Him, the more that we understand and have a revelation of His love, then we can actually become channels of His love, you know, mm-hmm. and love is one of the most powerful things that we could experience, and it's sometimes and oftentimes, at least for me, it's one of the most challenging things to express, and which, because we're talking about biblical love, mm-hmm. and that the highest, you know, dimension of love, if you will, the highest dimension, because there are different, you know, dimensions of love. The highest dimension is when you lay down your life. You know, love costs something. Love is not cheap. It does cost. You know, for Jesus, it cost Him His life. For God so loved the world mm-hmm. that He gave. And there's something about love, the nature of love. It, you have to give it. And when you give something, it means you're losing something. If I have something, Pat, and I give it to you, mm-hmm. that means I had it, and now I'm giving it to you. Mm-hmm. But I have to possess it first. Mm-hmm. And if so many people are walking around that they just don't have love because they're focused on themselves. And imagine the family unit where it's nothing but individuals seeking their own pleasure, their own happiness, what makes them feel right. That's a formula for chaos, destruction. One of the clips here when we saw it was a woman that was saying, "It's about me, my life, my individuality. It's not about the marriage unit. Yeah. It's about what I want to do." And many people feel like they have a right to be happy. I've heard people, adults, say that yeah, I just want to be happy.
Right.
And so their marriage and their relationship is only based on the temperature
until
of their
I'm
happiness.
Not happy anymore, yeah.
Well, they're not happy. They're not. Does that mean we're going to, you know, dissolve this? We're going to get rid of this family unit because someone has a right to be happy? Listen, you know, the quicker we come to the revelation that we have no rights, that's the whole difference here. Is we just want to honor God.
Right.
We just want to honor God. And these vows, you know, when I've had the pleasure of doing a marriage ceremony, you know.
Seminar.
Not seminar, but when I
married. Yeah,
no, I'm sorry. I can't even get out of my mouth. When I married some folks, you know what I'm saying?
A
ceremony.
Ceremony. Yeah,
trying to get it out of my mouth today. Ceremony. You know, and as well with some counseling, you know, it's important for people to understand that you say, "I do." You don't say, "I do if he do."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, "I do if she do." You said, "I do." Those are the vows that you made. They weren't contingent based upon somebody else. You said, "This is what I am going to do." And we find in this movie that in Mexico, they're actually issuing temporary marriage licenses, Pat, so that they can, hey, mm-hmm. try this thing out. They can, it's like, let us share with you a clue. Recipe for disaster? I mean,
exactly.
That's not going to work. In fact, probably you'll find that the divorce rate would probably be higher, but a lot of people in society right now are not even getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that look like later on in life? What are we sowing now in this generation that our children are going to reap in a future generation? You know, I'm of the opinion that, listen, we need to do an evaluation here. We need to really search our hearts. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a wise man and a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And we need to really evaluate. There's nothing sadder than to look at the end of someone's life or the end of a family and say, could we have done something better mm-hmm. at the end of this? At, you know, it's all done. Could we have changed this? What could we have done that we don't have to come to this road? Listen, there is a high price to pay. I mean, I've come from personal experience where, you know, I've worked at foster homes and I've seen children abandoned at supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Longing for their parents. Wow. It's the most heartbreaking thing you'll ever experience in your life.
Mm.
that they were just rejected and left outside of a food store. I've worked for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and where I've seen young teenagers that you know, oftentimes people look at a teenager and say, you know, what's their problem and why can't they straighten up? And these youth, until I actually went to some homes and realized, oh my goodness, you're actually doing better than I would in this environment, in this situation. I mean, I've youth pastored for years. I've helped sponsor, you know, Bible groups in the schools, and I've pastored. And it's like, listen, we can come out of this. We can come out of this, but we can't come out on our own. Mm-hmm. We need to have an abiding relationship with God and have personal responsibility for what God has called us to do.
Right.
What's my role, Lord? What's my role? What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. And when we do that, and we follow it, and we implement it, like we were talking about in a previous program, it's amazing. It's amazing how that happens.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And what we're seeing is if this gets, you know, to a certain place here, there's kind of that breakpoint moment, you know, mm-hmm. where once you hit the mudslide, once you take that faithful step, it's a wrap. It's done. And we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there yet. But what happens is that, you know, in the book of Malachi, he says, if you return to me, then I will return to you.
Right.
And a lot of times we're missing the blessing that could be ours. In fact, I believe it's there's a scripture that says that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
That's Jonah.
Yeah. Those who hold on to worthless idols, and so many people come into a family and a marriage holding these idols, you know, your family's destroyed. This was doomed to begin with. You know, this was doomed to begin with. And when we put God number one in our lives, number one, He changes everything. Right. He changes everything. And if you want to avoid tomorrow's devastation, if you want to avoid tomorrow's regrets, there's a simple thing you need to do. Start doing something about it today. And so maybe you might be listening to this program because someone sent this to you, or you just turned on the television, or someone, you know, emailed you this segment. We want to encourage you. Listen, cry out to God. It's not over. Listen, if you've had devastation in your family, God can heal you. God can restore that. God can fix what was broken. And sometimes you just got to keep moving. But God is a way, you know, He's a way maker. But all we have to do is turn to Him, make Him the Lord. Say, God, I'm going to honor Your truth in my life. I'm just going to get it right. I'm going to make no more excuses. What do You say? And help us as a family stay together. The family that prays together stays together. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.